Where is it at here? A young fan asks the identity of Rey's parents, and Abrams said, "They aren't in episode 7. This implies that just about every fan theory is wrong, but Entertainment Weekly caught up with Abrams after the show, and he was able to clarify his statement. What I meant was, she doesn't discover them in episode 7, not that they may not already be in her world."
Gotcha. So it could still be Luke.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, I'll talk Star Wars non-only. You know, guys, my permission.
Well, I think it could make an interesting conversation, only because when I read that, I started thinking, why does everyone always give a shit about parents? Like, who's Jon Snow's parents? Who's Little Orphan Annie's parents? Fucking, what's the story with Harry Potter's parents? It's like, they're not even in the fucking movie or the show, but that's who we always want to know about. And I don't understand why.
Well, with Rey, I, if it's a Skywalker lineage, that's interesting because, like, that Legacy Comics, you know, it's really interesting. You know, she not only has to live up to her father, who is Luke Skywalker, who's, like, the Jedi who saved the galaxy. Her grandfather is, like, the most evil dude in the whole universe, who was also one of the best Jedi in the universe. So it kind of leads to, like, you know, her having to live up to this legacy and, like, what having a legacy can do to you. Like, that part interests me.
What if it's Luke and Leia's kid before he found out about his dad, and then that's why he's screaming no, and that's why she just got left on this planet, because even back then, yeah, it's just bad news bears.
They had one drunken night in Hoth.
Yeah. That happens. Had to keep warm.
Yeah, we didn't know.
No dead tauntauns around.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to a very special episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with a man. Oh, whoa.
That's
David
why it's here. Special. There's no vaginas on the show.
There's no Amanda. We're so sad. But yeah, but I got Justin and Randy here. How you boys doing?
Fabulous.
I'm doing pretty good. I feel like I can walk around with no underwear.
Ooh.
But are you with no underwear?
I am indeed.
I like
no
it.
Underwear on?
I like it when you gag me with your underwear and choke me during sex.
Yeah, like Code Red style, like Few Good Men.
Joke sex, it's a good kind.
Yeah, I watched Few Good Men just the other day.
Dude, it was on TV! That movie's so good!
It is. No matter where you come in on that movie, you have to watch the whole thing. Especially
I know.
If you're in the courtroom scene, you're like, oh my
God, it's so good! I came in right when he decided that he was gonna go ahead and be their lawyer.
Yeah.
And
lack of choke sex in that movie, though.
Yeah.
But they choke. They throw the rag down Santiago's throat, and that's kind of what Justin's getting at.
Yeah, but it was poisoned.
No, it wasn't poisoned.
He just had an allergic reaction.
Yeah, it went too far down his throat, and he had an allergic reaction. He died.
Yeah, gotta be William careful.
William Santiago.
Gotta be careful with man-made cloth.
Yeah, and when Jack Nicholson's your CO.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mean. He's so mean. I know. I was just thinking. He's like, you stand there in your faggoty white uniform. It's like, whoa, he's just a faggoty.
Yeah. Or when he's getting interrogated, and he's like, I'd for you to said thank you. Otherwise, pick up a weapon and guard that wall. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I love that movie. I just eat it up. In fact, I don't own it, and I looked for it on Amazon because I was just going to buy it. I was like, God damn it, I came at the end of this movie. Now I want to watch it.
Yeah, it's like the birth of Aaron Sorkin. Like, that's like his first like mainstream, like everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. Pretty goddamn good.
And it's so funny because, like, you know, You Can't Handle the Truth was such like a punchline for so long that like when it comes up, but it's still so good.
Mm-hmm.
I remember everyone for years like, you can't handle the truth.
For decades now.
Yeah.
It's still a thing.
Yeah.
In fact, you're an asshole if you don't even say it. It's like, we're at that point where you just have to. Yeah.
Wasn't that playing in the shuttle bus at one point in time while we were at Comic-Con one year?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. So
that
good.
That is the most of that movie I've ever seen.
What? You have not seen A Few Good Men, Randy?
Honestly, no. I never have.
Dude, it is unbelievably good.
That's what I hear.
Oh, fantastic. Just
never got around to it?
And I just never got around to it, no.
You need to remedy that, Randy. You need to go buy it or Netflix it or something.
I don't think it is on Netflix, man.
Randy still gets discs.
I don't. Oh. I canceled that.
Oh, you don't?
I figured if they were going to raise my rates for the streaming, I'm like, fuck you, no more discs. Offset, yeah, costs somehow.
Everyone always asks, and I'm like, I only know one guy who gets discs anymore. It's Randy, and I don't know any guys who get discs.
Well, for the entire last year that I had the disc service, I wasn't even using it.
Yeah, you had, like, Fargo or some shit, probably.
I had fucking 10, which I still haven't watched.
Yeah, that's the worst when we used to get discs. And, like, if something you had for, like, 4 months, and you're like, fuck, I haven't even watched this.
It's like, now I don't even want to watch it. Yeah. I just get upset.
You're not sick, guys.
Oh, man.
What'd you guys do this weekend? What'd you do, Randy?
What did I do?
Did you see The Jungle Book?
No, I didn't.
Fucker.
Hold on a second. I'm really freaked out. What the hell did I do this weekend?
Cut together a sweet-ass trailer.
I did. All day yesterday, Saturday, I was cutting together a teaser trailer for Bloodsucker Jones versus the Creeping Death.
You going to put that on our site eventually, Randy?
I am eventually. Actually, the cool thing is, since we're talking about it, in about 1 week's time, give or take, they're going to be launching an Indiegogo campaign to raise some money to finish the film. And at that point in time, the trailer is going to be released into the wild, onto the world. We've shot about half the movie, so we've culled material from that half that we've shot, put together a pretty badass trailer, and I'm really proud of it. It's got some fun CG work that I did, because you know me, I love my VFX. So, I'm thinking everybody's going to have a good time with it. So, as soon as that is up and ready, we will be posting about it on Zig Geek Legacy. Check it out.
What else? That's all you did all weekend?
That is goddamn all I did. It was exhausting, but yeah.
It's depressing. What did you do, Justin? Did you do something more fun?
Saturday I went to what's called the Tulip Festival, and I am very excited to never have to go there ever again.
It was at least pretty?
Yeah, but I think a lot of the flowers bloomed early, so they were dead by the time we got there, and traffic was awful. It was a beautiful day, and I had a fantastic time, but it was not a great festival. Yeah, what can you do?
That is disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, and all these people are standing around taking photos, and they're going down the rows, even though there's all these signs saying, don't go down the rows, because you'll fuck shit up. People do it anyway. And there, you just walk through, and you just see every asshole with their phone taking a picture. And it just bothered me. I'm like, really, guys? You just have to do this? I'm just sitting there. I still got a smile on my face, but in my mind, I'm thinking, I fucking hate people.
It sounds about right. Justin I know and love.
You didn't take a picture?
Not in a row, no. I took a picture of us for just our memory bank, but there's no way that I could ever get a better photo than one of the high-res ones that comes up when you Google Images Tulip Festival. I have the image in my mind of what I saw, and it was glorious. I don't need to stand there and take a shitty picture with my phone and get in everybody's way.
Yeah. I usually try to get, like, one picture of us, like, enjoying an event, and then, you know, after that, I don't really need it. After that, I just want to, like, actually enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah, look at the flowers with your own eyes, not through the lens of your fucking iPhone.
My iPhone is HD, though. My eyes are like SD. Those are HD.
Dude, your eyes are amazing. They're beautiful. I lose myself in them whenever I look at you.
They're pretty hypnotic. Like Ka's eyes in The Jungle Book, which you guys didn't see.
Oh, my God. I have seen...
Because it's amazing.
I've seen 1,000 renditions of this movie, Dave. Do I really need to see it again?
Yes.
I have one big question to ask. Is there actually, like, singing and dancing in this version, or is it just for that?
No, so there are two what I would call musical numbers, and they're the two that you would expect. There's Bare Necessities, but it's not – they're not as over the top as, like, the animated Disney things. So I would say Bare Necessities and then, you know, King Louie. You know, I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. that those two are kind
whoa,
of musical.
Whoa, whoa. Yeah. And Christopher Walken sings that song.
It's so good. And like they're not even trying to hide that it's like if King Louis were doing a Christopher Walken impersonation is how this is his face. Like they're like the introduction of him is perfect because he has got all these like treasure underneath him and like so Mowgli's like going through it and he picks up a fucking cowbell.
Are you serious?
And in my head I'm like, more cowbell. And then all of a sudden, King Louis comes out. I'm like, oh, this is John Favreau. You are the best. Like it is so it. You know, I saw it with my kids. I took them last week, and I thought, you know, maybe they'll like it. And I left like just in awe of like how great it was. Like it's like, you know, Planet of the Apes level like photorealistic animals.
Like Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, you know, they're talking, and so there's fucking this tiger walking and he's got a big old scar and he's got his mouth moving. I'm like, dude, how'd they train this tiger to talk?
and so just, the kid's just doing all this acting in CG.
Yeah, it all happened. They filmed it entirely in Los Angeles, but it is by far the most impressive immersion as far as, you know, like plate backgrounds and stuff like that. Like
and like, Rowdy Roddy Piper is Shere Khan. Isn't that kind of weird?
What?
Nothing. Sorry.
I'm like, derailed.
Yeah, Idris Elba is...
I couldn't remember who was Shere Khan. So, Rowdy Roddy Piper came to mind.
Yeah, Idris Elba...
I'm like, he's an angry guy. He would make a good tiger.
He would if you weren't dead.
Oh, yeah.
Way to bring things down.
Why does every wrestler have to die? I swear to God.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
But yeah, I mean, I've been down on Murray the last like year or so. Like, I've been like, I'm not really. But like, he's like awesome as Blue. And like, Blue, the bear.
Who Bill Murray is, Blue.
Yeah, Bill Murray, yeah. And it was so nice. I had a smile my whole time. I was enjoying myself, and I was singing the songs when I left.
Who's the snake?
Kosh, Scarlett Johansson.
Did you say that already?
I don't think so.
Oh, because you yelled at me.
I was excited.
He was yelling the snake's name.
I had my caps lock.
Oh, I think Winnie the Pooh, the voice of Winnie the Pooh was...
Yeah, in the original 67 Jungle Book, it was the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
I found that very confusing as a child.
Yeah. Why does Winnie the Pooh want to kill him? Well,
did that snake eat Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
By chance, were the vultures there, and did the one say, hey, Flaps, what you want to do?
No.
The other was like, I don't know, what you want to do?
There were a couple vultures, but none of them talked, unfortunately.
God damn. Yeah, vultures are really creepy.
But Shere Khan is fucking mean as shit. Like he's like... Like, you know, he's kind of like a joking buffoon kind of villain in, like, the cartoon. Like, he's a fucking scary-ass tiger who fucking just straight-up murders people or murders animals. And, like, all he wants to do is kill this fucking human.
Because he don't like kids.
Yeah, exactly.
He don't like man. Man's going to have weapons.
Yeah.
Man kills animals, so Shere Khan, really, he's protecting the other animals by killing humans.
Yeah, unfortunately, the other animals side with Mowgli, spoiler.
So you're telling me the animals die in this movie? Who does Shere Khan kill? Does he kill Baloo? Does he kill Bagheera?
I'm not gonna spoil shit. Shere Khan kills other animals.
So going back to what you were saying about shooting the entire thing against a green screen, I actually saw some really neat visual effects breakdown videos earlier this week about Jungle Book, and I was delighted to see that it wasn't 100% green screen, because sometimes, like, if they show Mowgli, like, sitting on the branch of a tree, you'd expect to see, like, some green stick that he's sitting on in an entirely green room. But the cool thing was, it actually looked like a tree. There was stuff on the ground. There were other, like, fake plants all around. It was really just the background that was green. So it at least gave some kind of tactile... practical feel to it, even though the entirety of the movie is CG in a way. And another really cool thing too, like they were demonstrating how some shots were done like handheld, and there were two monitors side by side, one showing exactly what the camera was seeing, which was just the green background. The other one, in real time, had a rough CG background and rough CG animals interacting with the actor. as it's being shot live action.
Now, that's some James Cameron shit right there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that is that.
Weta Digital and all that shit.
Because the actors did mocap the actual animals as well.
Man, that's so cool, because you figure Avatar shot, you know, well before 2009, right? And they were able to do that then, and now we're in fucking 2016. That's nuts. Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's incredible, because, I mean, Randy and I both, we saw the sizzle reel at D23 last year, and Favreau came out there, and I love Jon Favreau. He can do no wrong in my book, acting, directing, whatever. He fucking caters a movie. I'm going to go watch it. And he made a big deal of talking about, like, the technology. And, like, anytime, like, the filmmakers start talking about technology over, like, characters and story and shit like that, you know, Ray and I kind of, like, looked at each other, like, I don't know. And he was talking about everything was shot in L.A. And we're like, fuck, this game, like, a green screen fest. But, yeah, it was amazing. And there's a lot of, like, these great sweeping shots of, like, Mowgli, like, going from tree to tree. Or there's this scene where all these monkeys are going from, like, tree to tree. And it's, like, these really long, continuous shots that aren't cutting. But you know that they're shot in a green screen. It almost makes it a little more, like, it, for some reason, it's like, oh, even cooler. And yeah, I can't say enough good stuff about it. You know, Jungle Book, it's definitely worth watching. If you have kids, it's a no-brainer. But even as an adult, I think that you'll get a kick out of it, because it is so well done.
So how challenging do you think it was from a directorial standpoint to have this kid, Neil Sethi, be acting with green screen?
I have to imagine it was incredibly hard, but, like, he nails it. Like, his Mowgli is, you know, you wouldn't have guessed that he was just some kid picked out of a casting line. You know, you would have thought that he was the second coming of Macaulay Culkin. Like, he just is like a natural. He's like a natural. And, like, I mean, because he has to, you know, he's basically in the entire film. You know, there's nowhere for him to hide in an ensemble. There's no other humans for him to hide behind. You know, we're impressed with the visuals of, like, the background and the animals, but he still has to be the, like, the emotional resonance that draws us into the story. And it's amazing at how good he does, because, you know, it's a whole story about, you know, it's okay to be different. And it's just great to see, you know, what Jon Favreau was able to get out of this kid.
Interesting.
So check it out, guys.
This is an interesting thing, too, though. Like, if you look at the Disney animated version of The Jungle Book, I want to say it was, like, in the 60s-something. Doesn't matter. Either way, all the actors that did the voices are, like, voice actors. That was their whole deal. And you can see that they're in multiple Disney movies. And then you look at the cast for this one, and it's all A-listers.
Yeah.
I think that is so sad that the voice acting trade is just passed off to these A-listers.
Yeah, I think there's so much more, you know, television for voice actors now, with all, like, the 24-hour cartoon channels. You know, back in the day of when they were doing the feature films, you know, they had Saturday morning cartoons and that was it. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot more work for voice actors nowadays, but it's just not in the high profile features like it used to be.
Right.
I mean, it was nice in The Jungle Book, they used people with, like, real powerful voices. You know, like, Idris Elba's got, like, a really great voice, you know, and as great as he is live action, you know, he's kind of got this voice that lends itself to voiceover. And same thing with Ben Kingsley, you know, he's got this great voice. And, you know, probably the most recognizable thing about Christopher Walken is, like, his cadence and the way he talks. And so it was great to see that it wasn't just, you know, like, Brad Pitt as blah blah blah. You know, they got people who had real great distinctive voices. I mean, sure, they had Bill Murray, but, you know, he was good as Baloo too.
And Gary Shandling was in that movie.
Yeah.
Is that kind of weird role for you? Yeah,
it was a little weird, and it almost felt like it was a role that they maybe might not have included in the featured cut if he hadn't passed away. But I don't know. Yeah, you know, I'm sure they had to lock this down a long time ago, so it's probably not true. But yeah, he plays this fun little porcupine.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of like the everything he sees is his. Like, that trade's mine. He's like, that leaves mine. That rock's mine.
mine. Yeah, it hasn't even been a month. He died in what is this? March 24th.
Yeah, too bad. I really like the Larry Sanders Show.
I like you.
I like you too.
I like
you know
Randy.
What else I like? No, we don't like Randy.
I like both of you. I want you to be rugs on my carpet. On my hardwood. I want both of your skins to be rugs on my hardwood floors by my fireplace.
Yeah, so done. You can make sweet love on top of them.
Yes, and I want a head. I want your heads on each side.
Like open like a bear so you can like make a kiss.
Actually, it might be cooler if your heads were side by side, then I can lay my head in between yours. Like we're all together again.
In betwixt.
Maybe you can leave me your skin when you die.
How done. Sure, you can have it. I'm going to be cremated, though, so it might be ashy.
Ugh, you fucked it up.
I did.
We just need to find a taxidermist that's bold enough to do such a thing.
Like Doctor Strange?
Yeah, he would do it.
Did you guys see the trailer for Doctor Strange?
First of all, does anyone even know who or what Doctor Strange is or does?
Yes.
What is he? Who is he and what does he do? Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Well, Dr. Stephen Strange was your typical dick, you know, neurosurgeon. Like, he, top of his game, and, like, he was, like, a hotshot surgeon. And then he got in a car accident, and his hands were crippled, so he couldn't do what he loved. And so he went to Tibet or some unknown Southeast Asian country. And that's when he met the sexually androgynous Tilda Swinton, who's created everything. And she trains him to find his mind's eye and become the world's greatest sorcerer, Doctor Strange. Da-da-da.
That's seriously the story?
That is. How terrible does that sound?
Eastern medicine makes him be a crazy man?
Yes. Makes him like Inception.
Huh.
What do you think of the trailer?
That's fine. I don't even know what to do. Like, I don't understand. Like Ant-Man was charming. I don't know how this movie's going to be charming.
And still be good. He's a charming man.
But I mean, isn't Doctor Strange kind of a weirdo, though?
He most definitely is a weirdo. But he's also one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel universe.
So that's why I should care about him?
I guess. But
he goes on to different planes. Not like airline planes, but he goes on different planes of existence and deals with weird shit.
Yeah, like the astral plane. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's usually one of the big heavy hitters for, like, the cosmic side of storytelling. You know, like, you know, your Adam Warlock stuff, you know, your Thanos stuff, you know. So he's a real big heavy hitter on, like, the mystical and the magical, which is odd because Marvel has been real standoffish as far as, like, magic goes. You know, because, you know, I had an example in, like, Thor. Like, Thor explains, like, what you call magic, we call science, and, you know, shit like that. So,
right.
But I'm curious. What did you think of it, Randy?
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you think of it, Randy? Because I think you're in my boat, where you don't know what the fuck Doctor Strange is or does.
I have no idea anything about Doctor Strange.
He's an idiot. He's a real piece of shit.
And I didn't watch the trailer.
You had one thing to do, Van Dyke.
I'm sorry, that movie doesn't interest me at all.
You see? And I wonder how many people are in that same boat. This is a big boat.
Oh, a lot. Like, I was shocked when they announced a Doctor Strange movie because, I mean, it's not a well-known property. You know, they got Cumberbatch, but he's not as bankable as, like, a Paul Rudd. You know, I understand. You know, Ant-Man is kind of a hard sell, but, like, Paul Rudd as Ant-Man... You know, that's a little easier sell, especially once you start getting the trailers and you see, like, God damn it, Paul Rudd, you're so likable. I just want to, like, watch everything you're in because you're so fun. To where Doctor Strange is, you know, like my mom was talking about this. She's like, what's this movie about this strange guy? And like the buildings move, like that movie with Leo. And I'm like, I could explain this to you, mother, but you're going to forget in like 2 days. So just know that in November, you'll have another Marvel movie to watch.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah. I think unknown property like this mixed with possible saturation of the market for comic book characters, you know, this could be the first, you know, kind of Marvel misstep.
Right. Now, we thought that Guardians could have been that, and we thought Ant-Man could have been that. And now we think Doctor Strange might be that.
Yeah. I mean, granted, we've only seen a 1 minute, 15-second teaser.
That's the whole movie. That's all you need to know.
It's the whole thing. I mean, we haven't seen a lot. You know, there was almost no Cumberbatch, just like, you know, him acting in it. You know, we see him, obviously, but, you know, we didn't get to see, you know, how he's going to deliver the lines and, you know, if he's going to be, you know, as charming Sherlock antisocial self. Because, I mean, that's kind of Doctor Strange. He's kind of like that. He's that know-it-all dick. And, you know, it's kind of like Tony Stark. You know, Tony Stark is not a likable character. But damn it if we don't love him in these Marvel movies.
Yeah, they pulled something off there.
Yeah. So you haven't seen the trailer, Randy. Do you have any interest? What is your interest level for Doctor Strange? Like, 1 to 10. 10 being, I've been lying on it. 1 being, like, fuck this noise.
1. I'm a 1. I don't care.
A 1?
Yeah.
A Marvel holiday tentpole film? That's not...
Dude, I fucking love Batman. I still haven't seen Batman v Superman. And you know what? I don't think I will.
What?
Yeah. How's that?
Ooh. You're not going to see Ben Affleck's cool.
I know.
Remember, your friend still just lied to you and said Superman died, so you got to see it just so you can fucking be mad at him.
Ah, fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. Fuck it in the face.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, speaking of Batman, you know, it had been rumored for a long time that he was going to direct the standalone Batman movie that he'd
Who's
star.
He?
Ben Affleck.
Oh, you didn't say that.
I didn't say that at the beginning?
I don't know. You might have.
I felt like I did, but it's possible I didn't. So Ben Affleck has been
possible, not probable.
To not only star in, to write, he's now going to. He's been confirmed that he's going to direct the Batman standalone film for 2018. What say you, Randy? You said you love Batman. You haven't seen Batman Superman, so I'm assuming you could give two shits about this.
No, you know, actually, okay. So it's a Batman movie, which I like. You know what it is? I think I just don't like Superman.
No one does. He's a fucking loser. Dave is the only person I know that likes Superman.
No, it's not a Superman thing. It's poor directing, because we had this argument the other week about Captain America was in the same boat, but all of a sudden they made a fucking badass Captain America movie.
No, I'm just saying that you actually like the character Superman. Not Cavill's Superman, but you like Superman.
I'll admit, I like Superman. I think Superman Returns is criminally underrated.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you there. I do enjoy that movie, but... I like Kevin Spacey and I like Brennan Routh.
If Superman Returns came out today, it would be heralded as a classic on par with The Dark Knight.
Whoa.
It is. Brennan Routh is an amazing Superman, even in a more amazing Clark Kent. It's got a great story that deals with, like, outcasts and, you know, trying to be included. It's a great post 9/11 movie to where it's like, does the world even need a Superman? And just there's so many tones in it, and it just came out at just like the wrong time.
I don't like Lex Luthor's plan. I don't like the dropping of the juice in the sea and making his own island and selling real estate. I think that's stupid.
It's the one thing I'm making more of.
I mean, that was...
that is dumb. I don't care what you guys say.
Yeah.
But when he goes up into the clouds and then he sees the sun and he's like, oh, I was like, oh my God. Pee came out. I remember being really excited about that.
Yeah, and they got fucking Marlon Brando voiceover.
That was badass.
Yeah.
Because he can't say Krypton.
Yeah, they did that shit right.
Yeah.
So,
oh, sorry.
To answer your original question.
Argo, fuck yourself.
No, I enjoy Affleck as a director, and I enjoy Batman as a character, and even though I have not seen him portray Batman, I think he has a lot of love for the character and a lot of love for that franchise, and he will do it justice. So I, for one, am in favor of
Affleck.
No
pun intended.
Yeah, well.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little.
Yeah,
but anyway, I think it'll be great. I have zero problem with it whatsoever.
Yeah, it'll be great to see Batman in the hands of a competent director again. But, hey, you guys both own... Do you own Batman and Robin on DVD, Randy? I know Justin does.
Yes, I do.
Do you guys own the copy that has the Schumacher commentary?
I don't know the answer to that. I got mine as a box set at the Costco for, like, $9.
You probably do. So someone turned me on to this commentary, and I watched it the other day. I know you guys aren't big DVD commentary guys. The commentary of Schumacher on Batman and Robin is... both hilarious and heartbreaking. Like, he knows that he has directed a piece of shit. And he goes from, like there's, like, a progression throughout the film of, like, him starting out, like, upbeat. And then he goes to kind of, like, trying to defend stuff. And then by the end, it's full-on apology. Like, it's full-on apology tour, you know, 99 or whatever the year was, 98, whenever it was released. And it is... It is, like I said, both hysterical and heartbreaking, and it is definitely worth checking out. Just because he's like, every time Schwarzenegger comes on, he's like, fuck, dude, they wanted to sell toys. It wasn't my design. It wasn't my idea to cast. And like, he's just like, everything about this movie.
Oh, are you kidding? On my cover, or on the back of my movie, there is a quote from the New York Post. It says, consistently dazzling, ingenious, breathtaking. How about that? That is true. I can't make that up.
Yeah. There's also Masson and Trey Parker. Their very first movie they ever produced was a movie called Cannibal the Musical, which is a so-so movie. But the DVD commentary on that one, which I had listened to before, is hilarious because Trey Parker had cast his, at that point, girlfriend as one of the leads, and they had broken up in between finishing filming and recording the DVD commentary.
Aww.
And so, like it's the first time she comes on screen. It's like, oh, yeah, that's Liliana. Yeah, she was my girlfriend up until about a couple months ago when she realized she wanted to, like, fuck other dudes instead of me.
And, like, yikes.
Weird silence because he's doing it with, like, Trey Parker and Irish with Matt Stone and a couple other people. And it's just awkward silence. And he's like, it's okay. We can make fun of her. She's a fucking bitch. And it's like, none of them want to, like, pile on. It's like, every time she comes on, he gets, like, progressively, like, meaner about, like, like saying shit about her, and it's another great DVD commentary to listen to. And you can do it because Trey Parker was just announced as the villain for Despicable Me 3, so that'll be interesting.
That's fun.
Yeah. It is fun.
Very talented. Story
to go with that, but he is. He's super talented. I wish I could be inside of him right now.
Ooh.
Like piloting him like a little robot from like Men in Black.
Like inside of his skull.
Yeah. Smoke comes out. You guys gonna see Star Wars on the big screen when it comes back?
No. You know why?
Why?
Because it's the 1997 special edition.
Ah, it's still worth watching on the big screen. It's coming to LA.
It is, yeah, and I might see it. But they're only doing it as a back to back to back triple feature, aren't they?
Oh,
the one in LA is.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
But the one in LA is back to back to back. Some of them are going to spread them out for 3-day events, but yeah, and the one in LA is like a hotel. Like it's not even like in an actual like theater. It's at the theater at the Ace Hotel.
You go to some room, you knock on the door with a secret knock. This guy lets you in. Hey, kid, you want to watch Star Wars?
Yeah. Well, it's weird because
a lot of
press screenings are at like hotels, and like it's like seats like 80 people, and it's like got like this like screen like you'd have in like a rich person's like basement. So I'm curious to see if maybe this is a more upscale facility. But if you go to Geek Legacy, you can see all the theaters it's playing at. The Alamo Drafthouse is the one that's kind of sponsoring the return of the trilogy. But like Randy said, it is the 97 special edition.
Which really isn't that bad. Honestly, I like a lot of the changes in Empire Strikes Back. It's just Return of the Jedi. I could live without those changes.
Oh, man. When the Wampa guy gets his little hand or his arm chopped off.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I like what they did with Cloud City and how they added a shot of Vader in the shuttle going up to the Star Destroyer. There's just a lot of little stuff that I really like.
Ichuta.
Yeah, and the stuff in A New Hope was good, like, in 1997. I mean, it looks pretty dated and bad in a lot of cases nowadays. But
yeah.
Most of it's cool. I really like the shot they added of, like, the X-Wings leaving both Yavin from the base, and then when they're in the sky and their X-foils, you know, they lock their X-foils in attack position. There's a nice little like CG shot of like all the ships, and I'm like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really nice looking, but it's funny when you watch it today with today's CG standards in mind, it looks a little dated, and it's like it doesn't really match the rest of the movie with that kind of 70s aesthetic. So it stands out a little bit. But I, you know, as much as I may shit talk the special editions right now, I was all over that shit in 97. I saw those so many times when they were re-released. And I, of course, had the original movies memorized, so I knew every little frame of added footage. And I geeked out over it so hard. So there's somewhat of a soft spot for 20-year-old Randy you know, waiting in line for 12 hours to see Return of the Jedi special edition at the Chinese theater.
Well, maybe not Return of the Jedi.
we'll talk about those changes.
Oh, they were terrible.
The best thing about that was the free action figure that you got for waiting in line before the movie started on opening day that they gave out at certain theaters.
It was like a Jedi Luke?
Yeah, it was a Jedi Luke in special packaging, which I still have.
Nice.
I didn't like the music change at Jabba's Palace, and I didn't like the Yub Nub.
Yeah.
That was fucked up.
They killed two great pieces of music, original John Williams pieces of music.
But the celebration at the end of Jedi is also good. I just am sad that they could have had that and Yub Nub.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason they had to like get rid of that. Like, I remember being in the theater, like, just with my wife who had never seen the movies at the time. Actually, she wasn't my wife at the time, but anyway, so we were watching it and I was like, oh, here we come, it's time for Yub Nub, and then like it wasn't, and she looked at me like I was a fucking idiot. And I'm
like, yeah, it could have shown how the galaxy was celebrating, and then it cut to the fucking Ewoks on Endor and how they are Animal House and just fucking go crazy.
Yeah.
That would have made sense.
And they put a beak on the Sarlacc, which
is, oh, that was weird.
Yeah, like, that was kind of weird.
I really dislike. Makes it harder for
Jedi rocks. That just makes me so upset.
Yeah, it's not good.
And then they have, he's like air guitaring with a lightsaber.
And there's like a million like just added shots of Boba Fett just like hanging out.
That's fine. He's like flirting with the ladies.
Yeah, have you guys seen the crazy theory about Maz Kanata being in all the other Star Wars films, that she's actually a Jawa?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I've never heard that, but that is interesting.
Yeah, it was a big thing. Screen Rant did a big thing on, I think, like on like Thursday or something like that. That there's a lot of pivotal scenes in the six films that like have a Jawa, and I mean it was a really out there theory, but like, you know, they video to like kind of like back it up as being authentic. Like in Attack of the Clones, you know, when Anakin is in the desert, you know, looking for his mother, you know, he stops and he talks to one Jawa. You know, it's not a group of Jawa, it's this one Jawa, and that Jawa gives them directions. And then, you know, in episode 4, you know, the Jawas that sell Luke the droids, you know, when they're capturing R2, you distinctly see 8 of them. There's like 7 bodies that are dead, and you know, they get real X-Files on you, but it was kind of interesting.
I'll buy into all that, but where are you going to find a Jawa in episode 5? Where in Empire is there a Jawa?
I don't there's something. I don't remember what it is. In Return of the Jedi, there's a lone Jawa in Jabba's palace.
Yeah, that I'm aware of.
I don't remember where. I'll have to look it up to see where. But they, all six movies, they had this like distinct, this like just like one Jawa like on its own, and it was, I mean, if it ends up being true, it'd be just this great coincidence of things. But it would be kind of cool, just because why is this one solo Jawa just fucking hanging out, talking about like eyes and stuff? But it doesn't really give Maz Kanata a lot of time to set up her cantina, which, you know, in by Force Awakens has been, so you know, it's more than 30 years old.
Yeah.
So
I still say that under that little beanie she's wearing, she's got big old Yoda ears, and they're the same race.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
You know, she does make a point about eyes, and Jawas have crazy eyes.
Yeah, the yellow eyes.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and no one knows what they look like under the robes. Be funny if all this time they look like Yodas.
Yeah, Yoda's just a Jawa. Holy shit. People's minds would melt.
Oh my god, the internet would be like, what? Rian Johnson, you are the fucking worst. He's like, we can do this in 9. Let Trevorrow worry about that shit.
Yeah, but you know that's not going to happen because this new trilogy and all the new Star Wars movies have some big old boner against showing any familiar aliens.
Yeah, they do.
So fuck that.
Boners.
Yeah, I bet you do. You know who else likes boners? James Cameron likes boners. He likes to keep announcing fucking Avatar movies, even though like they keep getting pushed back. Now
and he keeps adding to them.
Yeah, now there's going to be 4. You know, a couple years ago there were going to be like 3. Like one of them, like the first Avatar 2 was supposed to come out this year in 2016, and then it got pushed back to 2017, and then it didn't want to go against Star Wars, so they took it off the plate completely. And that, so now we have Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5. What do we think of this shit?
I think at first it was going to be Avatar 2 and 3, and it was going to be a trilogy, and that was all there was to it. And then it was, hey, we're going to have a fourth one. And now you're telling me we're going to have a fifth sequel, too? So there's going to be six movies all together, or just five all together?
A fourth sequel, so Avatar 5. So the way it's working now is...
Oh, my God.
Avatar 2 is coming out Christmas 2018. Avatar 3 is coming out Christmas 2020, 4, 2022, 5, 2023. So all of them are 2 years apart, except 4 and 5 will be 1 year apart.
And 2 is almost a decade late.
Right. So 2 – well, 2 was supposed to come out in 2016.
No, I know, but I mean, as far as – yeah, as far as the original goes.
Correct. Yeah, it'll be 9 years later.
I'm a strike while the iron's hot kind of guy, and I've already left the iron for dead. I don't care anymore.
So they're afraid of going up against Star Wars, but they're going to be opening up the same month as the Han Solo anthology movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's real. Who knows? Who knows if these will get moved? You know, Cameron's always had a boner for Christmas, and it served him well. You know,
I like boners. Did I tell you that already?
Yes, you did. That's why I brought it back.
Justin likes boners for Christmas. Keep that in mind for gift ideas, kids.
Yeah, so take someone's boner, put it in a box for him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe you know, because Avatar was a huge thing, and, you know, it kind of had some backlash. So maybe this is the kind of franchise that needed time off. Or do you think that, like, maybe, like, this boat has sailed? You know, keeping in mind that you really can't bet against James Cameron. He's always seems to find a way.
I think that this movie was a one-trick pony, and he should invest his time in something else.
I think it's going to be kind of a big mistake making four sequels back to back, because the next one, I think I agree with Justin, when the next one comes out, I don't think it's going to do nearly as well as the first one did, because it's going to be so far out of people's memories, they're just going to be completely out of it, you know? They don't care. I don't care. So I think people are going to think like we do and be like, what are these big blue cat fuckers? We don't care about this shit anymore. Second one's going to tank. Then what are they going to do with parts 3, 4, and 5 that are already in various stages of production or post-production? You're stuck with them.
Do you think there's a possibility that Avatar 2 could, like, fail? Like be like a bomb?
I think it would be a billion-dollar movie.
I bet you $20 bucks. It's not going to do well.
USD, Dave, $20.
You don't think that the sequel to Avatar that grossed $2.7 billion?
It's not gonna break a B.
Oh shit!
It's gonna break a B.
It's gonna S a D, Dave. It's gonna S a D.
It's gonna S a D, not break a B. I'm gonna get a T-shirt that's gonna say that.
It will break a B.
Nope.
Yeah, it's not.
$20.
No way.
I got who the fuck's on the $20 bill? I got his face with your name on it. I got Jefferson with your name. Jackson. Whatever the fuck.
Jefferson, that's it. All right, fine. I'll take that action. All right, some of these too, Justin? You think it's gonna fail?
I'll hold the money.
I'll take both of you on.
Ooh,
bet you will. You got
double
two
team.
Hands. You only got one mouth. You got two hands.
Ooh. If you suck a dick better than you eat a blood orange, I'm on board. There's video for that, folks. You
the blood
see
orange
it.
Part.
Yeah.
And probably the other one, too, somewhere.
Yeah.
You're an adventuresome guy. But, yeah. Well, yeah, you got a list, Randy? I heard tale of an Affleck-centric list.
Ooh.
Actually, I do have a fun list. And this is kind of going to go up against a list that Justin made for Geek Legacy a while back.
Like a Batman v Superman situation?
Kind of. But I think it's Affleck v. Affleck. It's the top 5 Affleck movies as voted on by IGN. And it's going to go head-to-head with the top 5 Affleck movies voted on by Justin from Geek Legacy.
Mono,
so you could call
mono.
It IGN versus Geek Legacy.
We win that every day, twice on Sundays.
No post on Sunday.
So I'll go ahead and start with the IGN number 5. Justin, if you want to jump in, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, I'll just crank it down 5-1, then you can do yours 5-1. Yeah?
Why don't you rapid fire? Yeah, that's fine. I don't have the list in front of me. Hold on.
All right.
Go. Well, you go, and I'll pull my list up.
All right. So, number 5, Chasing Amy, 1997.
Oh.
A fine Kevin Smith movie.
That is good.
Number 4, Released in 2006, Hollywoodland.
Oh, I never saw that. Yeah,
he gets to play Superman.
Yeah.
He's played Superman and Batman.
And then he tries to jump in front of a train and it doesn't work.
Fun fact, his love interest in Hollywoodland is Diane Lane, who plays Superman's mom in Batman v Superman.
Holy shit.
That is
all interesting. It's all connected. It's like a parallel universe. It's like one that Doctor Strange probably would have visited.
Yeah.
Since that's what he does, I guess.
Yeah. So women in Hollywood, in like 5 years' time, you can be the mom of Superman. You can go from being the girlfriend to the mom, but the guy who played Superman, he can be Batman.
Isn't there a Strange in DC as well? Hugo Strange? Is that a guy?
Yeah, it sounds like
yes. Yeah.
Is he a doctor?
Yeah, he's a doctor in Arkham Asylum. As of right now, he is on the Gotham series.
Really?
Yeah, he's supposedly treating all of these criminally insane people and releasing them. He's like giving them drugs, making them even more fucked up, brainwashing them, then releasing them into the wild to see what they'll do.
Oh. Do they not just want to bring the Scarecrow into this world?
I'm trying to think if they already have or not.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Wasn't it his dad was in it? Scarecrow's dad, and then he was like a teacher. I don't know. I thought in the first season. And remember, it was all dealing with fear, and Bruce Wayne was running around the forest, and he fell, but he didn't fall in a cave, and it was
we were complaining about that. Yeah, I agree. What a
dumb show. I can't believe you still watch it, Randy.
I'm proud of you.
But not Batman v Superman.
He gets his Gotham news from fucking
Fox.
Is it called Gotham? It's called Gotham, right?
It's called Gotham, The Penguin is too good. I like it just for the Penguin.
You can't be bothered to watch a 1-minute, 15-second teaser for Doctor Strange. You got 44 minutes every Monday for Gotham.
Oh, man, it's on Monday nights?
Before we recorded today, I took time specifically to watch Fear the Walking Dead in case anybody else is watching that.
That just got renewed for a third season.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's terrible.
But there's certain cast members I just really don't like.
Oh, that Johnny Depp-looking motherfucker?
He's one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Number three. Well,
before we move on, did you watch The Arrow this week, Justin? I know you were off the bandwagon. Have you seen it?
I gave up on the show.
It's such bullshit. She's not dead.
She's alive already?
No. She dies on the show. But the way she dies, it's like...
Where she strokes out? Or whatever.
Yeah, like she talks to Oliver, and like she basically says like, "Hey, I need to be dead," and then like Oliver leaves, and then all of a sudden she like codes, and I'm like, "Ah, fucking stupid."
Oh, maybe he did that thing where he presses on their throat or their jaw or something, and they pass out and die.
Yeah, it's awful.
You know, every character on the show has pretty much died and come back. It's such a joke. I fucking hate it. It makes me so mad. It was so good right out of the gate, and now I think it's just stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry, Randy.
Do you guys watch Legends of Tomorrow at all?
No. I have all 11 episodes recorded and I haven't watched them yet.
Okay, this week. Well, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just going to tell you because, you know, they jump around to different time periods. This past week, they go to the Old West. And there are several elements of it that are straight out of Back to the Future 3, and they don't even, like, apologize. It is just unequivocally ripping off Back to the Future 3.
But is somebody running really fast and then they say, "Is that fun?"
There is a very definite Doc Brown and Clara and Brandon Routh's character becomes a sheriff, and he says his name is John Wayne, you know, as opposed to fucking Clint Eastwood.
Lame. So
it is very Back to the Future 3. But
it's not like making fun of it.
Not really making fun of it. It's just like it's like an homage. It's like it's good enough to where you'll let it slide.
Do they have a kid playing with his dick on a train?
No, creepy kids pointing to their junk. As far as I know, I only watched it once. It took me years watching Back to the Future 3 before that was discovered.
It's the internet.
Yeah, I know, I was like 30-something.
The internet turned me on to that shit.
Dude, I love the internet. As much as I hate it, I love it too.
Well, if it wasn't for the internet, we wouldn't be podcasting.
I know. So. Remember, Carmen's like, "How can you hate the internet? That's like hating titties or something." That's so true. Anyway,
where are
we at on this list?
Number three, Good Will Hunting, 1998.
You're just not that good, Will Hunting.
How you number... like them apples?
I don't like them apples, Will.
Number two, The Town.
Ooh, I love that movie. That movie convinced me that Affleck would be an amazing Batman.
Yeah.
That was it.
Number one, Argo, of course. 2012.
Ooh, I can see that.
Yeah, and this list was created in 2013, so it was before Gone Girl.
Sure.
But then again, I think So Was Your List was also created in 2013, right?
Right after the announcement of Ben Affleck as Batman.
Cool. All right, so let's hear what you got to say.
Sure. So I threw in an honorable mention really fast, and that was for Boiler Room. He's in the movie for like 8 seconds, but it's a great 8 seconds.
Yeah.
He's like, people that say, you know, money doesn't make you happy or whatever is... They're only saying that because they don't have any, and it's fucking awesome, and I love it so much. And anyhow, he's badass in that movie. Check it out. Number five I have is Dogma, which is also a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
I thought he was fantastic in that movie. I actually like it better than... It's more of a supporting role than it is with Chasing Amy. He was starring in it, of course.
No.
But whatever. Number four I have The Sum of All Fears.
Oh, yeah.
This is where he had to take up the mantle of Jack Ryan. And he was the third person to do so. Of course, it was one of those Baldwins.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. And then it was the Harrison Ford. And then it was like, well, I don't know, man. Clear and Present Danger is a pretty fucking badass movie. How are you going to top that? And Sum of All Fears was dynamite.
But he fails, though, right? Like, they end up nuking Baltimore, right?
So that's not his fault, though. The bomb makes it ashore.
To the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he talks down World War III. He is on the horn with the Russian Prime Minister. You know, he's chatting with the Kremlin, and he's able to stop a nuclear strike, which is pretty cool.
And then Chris Pine replaced him.
Yeah, and that movie was awful.
Yeah, Shadow Hunter.
Something. Yeah.
Shadow Fox.
Out of the shadows.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles. Number three I have is Armageddon. This is a movie that is ridiculous. It's a 2.5 hour beer commercial. It's the end of the world, but you're cheering like this is the greatest thing ever. And then there's this dynamite scene with Bruce Willis and Mr. Affleck. And I swear to God, if it's not E.T., it's Armageddon. These two movies and Rudy, those three movies can make me cry every time I watch.
Yeah. And people shit all over Armageddon. Armageddon is like, if you don't get the feels during Armageddon, you are dead inside. Like, when Bruce Willis and the scene he's talking about, when Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck go down to basically Ben Affleck's death, and then he has like a chat with his daughter and talks about how much he loved. Second he says, "I always thought you was a son, AJ," but I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna cry."
I even feel something during that movie, and yeah. I am cold and dead inside.
it's so good. It Fuck is you, Bay. Good. It's funny how I can defend Bay, but I hate Snyder.
That is pretty funny.
It's so, but like that's the thing, like Bay has like moments where I get like emotion, like he understands like the grandioseness of his movies and he's unapologetic for it. But then he has like these small little moments in all of his films that like are, you know, on paper must be so out of place, but they just suck you in. And, you know, I don't get those moments in a Snyder film.
I know there's even, this is going to sound so stupid that, but in, the second Transformer movie, when the attack is happening and he finds his parents, and he's like, "No, I gotta go do this." And the dad's like, "Will you come back?" And he's like, all screaming at him. I'm like, "Oh my god, I love this movie."
Yeah, like the dad's so like, stupid. He's not gonna let him go.
Yeah, he doesn't want him to die. He's afraid that he's gonna lose his son, and it is just heartbreaking. And I love that scene. It's the best scene in the whole movie. Yeah. Aside from when the little guy's like, this guy is like a legend, like chairman of the board. That's a pretty good scene, too. But.
My favorite scene is when the one chick's making out with Witwicky and like the tail comes out of her and it lifts her skirt up and you can see a lot of stuff. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
That's nice. I like it.
Yeah, robot stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was number three, Armageddon. Number two I have as The Town, just like IGN. I fucking love this movie. It is intense. I get heart palpitations in certain scenes. And there's this part where he tells fucking Hawkeye that he needs his help and that he's going to go hurt some people and he can't ask any questions. And Hawkeye's like, "Yeah, no fucking problem. Let's do it." And you just see what a badass he is. And I love it. And that's when I knew that this was going to work with him as Batman. And then, of course, number one is Argo. That movie was fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Especially since it's based on something that happened. That kind of makes it a little bit more scary. I mean, I knew that they got away, but... Spoiler alert, but... It was still scary when they were at the airport at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
John Goodman's in it.
I don't know what's Arabic for value papers, but it was definitely nerve-wracking.
It was definitely in there.
Google Translate value papers.
And it got Mr. Affleck his second Oscar.
Yeah, he's good at that. Probably going to lose him in a divorce.
Along with his testicles, his kid, and his houses.
You know, I think it's Jennifer Garner's birthday. I think I saw that on IMDb when I was looking for news.
Not really?
She's 44.
Really?
Yeah, she's a lot older than I thought she was.
She's still well put together.
Yeah, fine young woman.
Uptown all the way?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't got one of those in a while.
No. She was great in that movie, Pearl Harbor. Did you see that?
I did.
That got Affleck a Best Actor nod.
No, didn't.
Got Michael Bay a Best Director nod.
Yep. I don't think Michael Bay understands what Pearl Harbor is.
I think it's bad.
Yes, I know that. You know that. I don't know if Michael Bay knows that.
Yeah.
Cuba's in it. You know, he's the gunner.
Oh yeah, he's like the cook turned gunner.
Yeah. It's like, I could probably work this thing. How hard could it be? Point it and pull the trigger, right?
Yeah, that movie's fucked up.
Yeah. Sneaky Japanese fighter pilots.
Yeah. Anywho.
Oh, I like both your lists. Now since it's, you know, you wrote yours in 2013, would you add any of his films post 2013 on the list? You know, some like Gone Girl. Obviously, you probably wouldn't add Batman v Superman to the list, but like anything you'd add to the list in the, or any order you would change in hindsight?
No, I don't think so. I did get scolded a bit for not having Good Will Hunting in my top five. I do think that's a good movie, but I don't think it's his movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's definitely a Matt Damon movie.
Yeah.
I guess the original draft, it was like 50-50. Like, they both had like this journey. I mean, they were different journeys, but they both had a journey. And when they went to make it, Miramax made them choose one, and they chose the Matt Damon one because it was the stronger narrative.
Sure.
And they'd got Robin Williams. They're like, well, fuck, we got Robin Williams.
Yeah. I did like Gone Girl, but I didn't read the book, and that is definitely a one and done. And I think part of me might have judged this movie on, I want to say, replayability. Like, I can watch any of these movies in my top five any day of the week.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah, Gone Girl, I thought, was great. I think it's, you know, Fincher is a master, but...
Yeah, that's a one-and-done kind of
movie. Yeah, I mean, once you know that she fucking slits fucking Neil Patrick Harris's throat and fucking...
And she's just a crazy person, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of changes things.
That's insane when she fucking does that. And all
yeah,
that.
I was convinced that maybe he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't.
No.
He was a good guy. Just stumbled into this fucking psychopath.
You know, my grandma told me once, she warned me. She said, Justin, no matter how nice you think a woman is, just know that they always have a plan.
Sounds like Han Solo.
She's a smart woman.
Women always find out the truth.
Yeah, that too.
Always.
Don't fucking lie. Don't do anything stupid because they will find out. They're smart. They will smell your dick.
Smell your dick. She'll be stuck in my head now. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, I think they're both fine lists. I like yours better, Justin, because it has Armageddon on it, and I love Armageddon.
I do too.
What's your favorite Affleck movie, Randy?
I would say probably Argo.
It's pretty good. And it's a period piece. I know you love them period. Even though it's 70s, it's still a period piece.
Oh, the hair. I love the hair and the jackets.
And the brown orange palette.
They had some, yeah, a lot of orange. It's like a casino. Casinos all have that crazy orange.
Yeah.
The carpets and the walls and shit.
It's a good movie. I like it.
And he cries in the Armageddon. So, Randy, you are just an outstanding human being.
I try.
Yeah, you got to have the feels in that movie. There's like a bunch of moments in that movie.
No, just that one.
Okay, just that one. Just fast forward to the end.
I want to shake the hand of the daughter of my friend whose neighbor was amazing. Yeah.
That goes a little far.
I mean, your father's brother's cousin's former nephew's former roommate or whatever the fuck.
What does that make us?
Absolutely nothing. That's a good response.
Yeah.
No news on the Rick Moranis front, huh? For Spaceballs?
No, not yet.
Do you want Spaceballs with that Rick Moranis though, Randy?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I mean, if they do the thing like they kind of have been teasing at with the Schwartz Awakens, and you see like a burnt out dark helmet. Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
That would make sense not to have his character there. You have some equally obnoxious, like Andy Samberg type or something like that.
Oh my god, you just fucking sold me on this movie hard right there, Andy. That is brilliant casting.
Yeah, see, I'm nothing if I'm not a decent casting director.
That is spot on.
But yeah, wouldn't that be amazing?
It would. I am 1,000 times more excited about this movie now, and it's not even real casting. It's just us fucking around. Now, if it's not Andy Samberg, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. But something like that. I mean, just somebody playing, just spoofing the Kylo Ren type of character. You don't need Rick Moranis. He's dead.
What if they got Adam Driver to be the spoof character?
I don't know if contractually he could do that, but I'd be okay with that.
No, it's good press.
Well, I mean, we all saw how well his skit on SNL went over.
Matt.
Yeah. So, shit, I'd be all over that. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter if not all the original cast returns, all the original surviving cast returns. Just get some of the, get Lone Star in there. I mean, you could totally make that work. If your goal is to spoof The Force Awakens and not try to make another original Spaceballs story, if you're just straight spoofing on Episode 7, it would be so easy to do that with the surviving members of the cast. It's a bummer that John Candy isn't around to be barf, but
now how would you like them to handle that? Like, because I mean it's a comedy, so it's hard to do stuff with reverence. Would you want them to make like a plot point out of it, like you know, like this fucking Kylo Ren wannabe, like killed barf, or just don't acknowledge barf? I mean, how can he's such an important part of the story?
I mean, you could just recast. You could have somebody else. Yeah.
You'd be down to recast Barf?
Yeah. I mean, we have no other options if we want the character.
Like, he'd be dead.
The other option, yeah. I mean,
he had to be put down.
Yeah, he was rabid.
You know, the average Mog lifespan is, you know,
5 minutes.
They age 7 years faster than humans. You know,
It would be someone like Kevin James, and then I would hate it.
Yeah, I'm with Justin. They cast Kevin James.
Well, then you could have like he has before he died he had a litter of puppies or they completely CG John Candy. It doesn't matter.
What's Barf's kid's name?
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. Sold. I mean, now I'm brilliant. It's got Andy Samberg and Steve Buscemi.
His kid's name would be like Wretch or something, some other like euphemism for.
I just thought he'd play himself, like Steve Buscemi.
Ralph, yeah.
It's like Steve Buscemi, and they always refer to him by both names. Steve Buscemi, come up here quick. He's like, what's up, guys?
Like in a Donnie sort of way.
Yeah. This movie writes itself. What's taking Mel Brooks so long?
I don't know.
John Goodman could probably do it. He's a big dude. Yeah, and he's funny. John Goodman is hilarious when you let him.
He's kind of the de facto replace, because he replaced Belushi in the Blues Brothers.
Oh,
he's
kind of.
It's the de facto.
He's the understudy.
Yeah.
He could be an angry Mog.
Yeah. Barf's mad at his dad.
Yeah.
Barf's brother Ralph. Because he played King Ralph once too. That looks like
bad.
King Ralph is very bad.
And you could get anybody to do a Joan Rivers impersonation for the voice of Dot, or they can have
her daughter. Her daughter. Didn't I think David suggested that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We brought that up in the past.
Yeah, we don't even need the dot.
Yeah.
Dot Matrix.
There could be some new cute droid, like their equivalent of BB-8.
Yeah, you know, dot, that's not even relevant anymore, but I don't even think people would get that, like kids.
Right, Dot Matrix.
Dot Matrix, yeah. Like, no one knows what that printer is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brooks is getting up there in age. Like, mentally, he's still there, but, I mean, can he be Screw and Yogurt still?
Sure, with just, you know, limited screen time. Or just, like, all soundstage kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, or I guess they probably wouldn't need... If they're not going to have Dark Helmet, they probably don't need Scroob. It's not the Empire anymore. So funny that for, like, the first, like, 30 years of my life, I thought it was President Screw. Like, you screw in something.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a B at the end.
Yeah, it's for kids. Idiot.
The flamethrower. The kids are gonna love this.
Yeah.
You know, Screw is a slightly misspelled Brooks backwards.
Well, I guess.
What?
Did I just blow your mind right there?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's where that name came from. S K R O O B. Yeah, it's Brooks, but with the R misplaced.
Huh. Yeah, I just always assumed because of the salute that it was Screw. Like that was his thing. Like screw you.
Yeah. The whole fuck off.
Yeah.
That's universal.
Just gave you a little piece of knowledge you never knew.
You did, thanks, man. Yeah, that's a good podcast, educational. I would say not a week goes by that I don't have to play when my kids go to bed. I don't have to play for them like Spaceball 1 going to Plaid, like that scene. Like it's like their favorite, like it's like their most requested video on YouTube. They love watching that scene, the whole thing. Like, well, I think it's because I let them listen to Squaring or something like that, but. Says bullshit and what the hell was that? Spaceball 1. We've got the plan. Sorry. Anything else, guys? You guys got any other fun tidbits or joyous news or?
I don't think so.
Seance results, Mori results.
I do have a little fun piece of news.
Hit us.
Yeah, you know, Nonstop to Comic-Con is going to be hitting the festival circuit again, or continuing, rather, its second leg of the festival circuit. And so you're going to be hearing us plug many more screenings to come, the first of which is in Columbus, Ohio, and it's going to be at the Studio 35 Comedy Film Festival. It's going to be between April 29th and May 1st. I don't know the exact time or day that it's going to be screening, but... I will let you know as soon as I find out. But yeah, that's only like 2 weeks away. So if you're in the Ohio area and you want to check out Nonstop to Comic-Con, this is your chance. It's our first time coming to that state, so we're excited.
It's the Buckeye State.
It's a Drew Carey State.
Yeah? I can see that.
I am excited for you guys.
Yeah.
Should.
You're going to get your nod for best director, like Michael Bay.
Yeah, he's got like a bunch. It's like The Island.
Best manatee killer in the world.
Yeah, and it's in the shape of a manatee. It's made out of manatee bones.
That's so awful. What a piece of shit.
I don't think it was on purpose. Shit happens.
Mm.
It was for a Bad Boys movie.
It was probably for Will Smith's ridiculous size boat.
Yeah. Like, away, back up the Smith boat.
Yeah.
It's in Will Smith's rider for him to even set foot on step. You have to murder a couple manatees, then yeah. He'll show up on your movie.
I don't
He's got it. Something against those sea cows. I don't know what it is.
It's bat bucks.
Bat fucking bat.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Green nice. M&M's and manatee murder.
Anything else, Mr. Van Duke?
That's it. That's all I got.
Cool. Well, thank you for listening to this extra special oozing testosterone issue of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure to listen to all the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. We got the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James, which we were just complimenting of how great it was. You should definitely give it a listen. And we got the Comic Corner Podcast with Tyler and Jeff, where they recap everything in the whole universe of comic books down to an itty bitty like 55 minute listening session, and it's always great, especially if you don't like Tyler, because Jeff just beats the shit out of that kid. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. Like us on Facebook. And for all your geek news and reviews, go to geeklegacy.com.